Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom and Daf. Now in Masachet Brachot of Mem Vav and Aleph, in our second podcast of this, the seventh parak, dealing with Birchat HaMazon, in the middle of the Amud, Ad Heichan Birchat HaZimun. How far does Birchat HaZimun go? And this is a kind of a tricky question because it may mean if there is no Zimun taking place, what is omitted? Or it may mean what part of the Birchat HaZimun needs to be done cooperatively. Nachman Amar Ad Nevarech, which means the introductory formula. Rav Sheshet Amar Ad Hazan, which means the first paragraph, including the first paragraph. Neima Kitanari, this sounds like it follows Machloka Tanaim. Tani Chad Birchat HaMazon Shnaim Ushlosha. The Birchat HaMazon is two or three brachot. V'tani Idach Shlosha V'yarba. The other one says three or four. Now, why do we think this is now the model for a Nachman Rav Sheshet disagreement? Savrua, we thought, Tachuli, Amaheto, Atov Meitiv, Lav, Do, Raitehi. Everybody will agree, will assume, that Hatov Meitiv, the fourth bracha of Birchat HaMazon, is not Do, Raita. My Lav, Bakhani, Palgi. And so therefore, the machloket between the two brightot must be, Mandam, Arshtai, Mishalosh, Kasavra, Arazan. Meaning you say two or three brachot, two if there's no Zimun, the second bracha and the third, and three if there's a zimun, which is zimun plus two and three. Umandam are shalosh v'arba, the one who says three and four, kasavra ad nevarech, that there's always going to be three brachot, whether you're alone or with a group, and there'll be a fourth, which is zimun. So lo, Rav Nachman atar z'tameh, Rav Sheshet atar z'tameh. Each of these amoraim could explain both brightot as supporting them. Rav Nachman atar z'tameh. The kuli alma ad nevarech. Rav Nachman will say nevarech is birchat hazimun, and there's three separate brachot. Man damar shalosh v'arba. The one who says there's three or four brachot shapir. That's fine. Three if there's no zimun. Four if there is. Man damar shtayim shalosh. The one who says two or three. Amar ba'achach birchat poalim askin. And as we saw in the second parak, the poalim, workers cut out the fourth bracha, but they also combine the second and the third. Damar mar potech ba'hazan cholobun shalom v'chat ta'aretz. So now that means that there will be two brachot if you're the poalim, there's two poalim or one poel, and three if there's a group, because zimun, and then number one, and then two and three together. Rav Sheshet Matar Tzatameh, Rav Sheshet, who says that birchat zimun includes hazan, will explain both brightot his way. The Chuli Amad Hazan, Mandam Ashtayim Shalosh Shapir, Mandam Ashalosh V'Yarba, the one that says three and four, Kesav Ratov Meitiv Doraitahi, will hold, as we'll see later on, opinions that support this, that Ratov Meitiv is Doraita, so therefore you will have a total of three brachot, meaning Nodelecha, Rachem, and Ratov Meitiv, if there's no Zimun. If there is a Zimun, add a Zimun. I'm Rabbi Yosef. I'm going to prove to you that Atov Meitiv is not the Oraita. The fact that Poalim don't say it at all. I'll prove to you it's Lav Doraita. It starts with Baruch, but it doesn't end with Baruch, but the point that it starts with Baruch proves that it's not Doraita, as we'll see. Kedetanya, very important Tosefta. Kol brachot kulan potech ben baruch, chotem ben baruch. All brachot have the opening formula, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, or Elokeinu Melech Avoteinu, and end with a chatima, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hazan Atah Kol, or whatever the chatima might be. Chutz v'brachat haperot, brachat haMitzvot, those are short brachot, single line brachot, that only have an opening formula. Brachas muchal lachaverta, a bracha that always comes in sequence after another, and therefore it has no opening formula. Ubracha, which is why Nodelecha doesn't have an opening formula and Rachem doesn't, because they always follow Hazan. Ubracha chornat shabi kriyat shma, emet v'yatziv, because it follows, or emet v'unah, because it follows shma. Yesh ben shoteach ben varach ben chotem baruch, some of this list has a pticha, not a chatima. Yesh ben shechotem ben baruch ben chotech baruch, some of them have a chatima, not a pticha, as I pointed out. V'atov meitiv potech baruch ben chotem baruch, and we know atov meitiv has baruch atashem v'cholam, ha'ayel avin makenu adureinu, boreinu goetzenu, etc. And there's no chatima, it ends al yichasrenu. Michal de bracha b'fnei atzmahi, it must be an independent bracha, which means it can't be doraita, because then it would just be part of the sequence from Uvnei Yerushalayim. I'll give you a third proof that it's not Doraita. There used to be a whole different practice about Berchat HaMazon in the house of an Avel, a mourner's house. Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. Rabbi Kiva Baruch Dayan HaEmet. If I'm HaTov HaMeitiv in Dayan HaEmet, lo, what, according to the first one, you don't say Dayan Emet, Ela Ema'ata Af HaTov Meitiv. So the first opinion is HaTov Meitiv and Dayan Emet. Rabbi Kiva says, you don't say HaTov Meitiv at all. So the fact that Rabbi Kiva says, we totally changed the Nusach of the Bracha in that Avel's house, in Brachat HaMazon, proves that it can't be Doraita. Marzutra equal to Verilashi Itra Be'milta. So there was a death. Patach Ubarach, he said HaTov Meitiv, El Emet Dayan Emet. So he did both. Shofet Patzedek Lokiach Mishpat, Vishalit Ba'olamo, Lasot Bal Kirtzono, Kichol Drachal Mishpat. Essentially, God runs the world, and he does everything according to his own law of justice. Shakol Shalom Anachol Mo V'Avadav, we are his servants, V'Chol Anachol Chayim Nodot Lo L'Varcho, we have to praise him for everything. Goder Pratzot B'Yisrael, Yidor Tapritza Zot B'Yisrael L'Chayim. The one who fills in the breaches, B'Yisrael should fill in this breach to life. Okay, and now lehechanu chozer. So when you've said all of that, or something like that, where do you pick up now in the regular bracha? Zvid mishmei dabayim ar chozer l'rosh. You go back to the beginning. Run on me the makom shepasak. The point where you deviated, you go back to the vechatal makom shepasak. That's what you do. But these are all proofs that atov meitiv is not the oraita, because if it were, you could not move it around and change it bebe ta'iv, etc. Amale Resh Galut, parenthetically, that's not the most solid proof, and because whenever you see three proofs to something, that indicates that not one of them is super solid, but it's not so solid because you could say that Atov Meitiv is Doraita, but the particular words and even the theme of it may be flexible depending on the circumstances, much as the Nusach of the Rif and others when it comes to the Bracha of Rachem on Shabbat, in which it becomes Nachamenu. Okay, Amar Resh Galut to the Rav Sheshin. We'll see that a little bit later on. Avagav to Rabbanan Kshishi Atun. So the Resh Galut said to Rav Sheshin, even though you are the elder rabbis, Parsoi Betzarche Suda B'kim in Aichu. The Persians are more expert in making a fancy meal more than you. Why? What do they do? Bizman Shen Shtei Mitot, when there's two people as guests of honor, and they have their two divans to sit on, to recline on, Gadol Mesei Barosh, the elder one, the important one, is at the head, Sheni Do Lamal Emenu, the other one is above him, meaning to his right. Bizman Shem Shalosh, when there's three, Gadol Mesei Bamsa, the Gadol's in the middle, Sheni Do Lamal Emenu, the second guy is above, Shlishi Shalol Lamal Emenu, third one is below him, so he's in the middle. Amarle, so the Rav Sheshet turned to Resh Galut and said, V'chibay Yishtayu Bahadei, Matrit Tzurutz V'yatim Yishtayu Bahadei. So if the elder wants to speak to number three, what does he have to turn around and speak to him? Amarle, Shani Parsoi, D'machri L'machog. They signal to each other during, they don't talk, they signal, they make hand gestures. So Ma'im Rishonim Heichan Matchilin. So now he asks, so where do we start washing for the meal? Amarle Min HaGadol, we start with the elder. Yeshev Gadol, Yishmer Yadavad, Shnot Lin Kulan, when he should sit there and wait, because they'd all break bread together. So you want the elder one to sit there with his hands washed and keep his hands clean until everybody's washed their hands? Amarle Le'altam, Ha'itutaka Kameh. The answer is they bring a tray in front of each person as he's washed, so he doesn't have to wait. Mayim Achronim Eichan Matchilin, where do we start the water before Rechat HaMazon? Amarle Min HaKatan, from the youngest one, the smallest one in the group, or the least significant. When the elder one should sit there with filthy hands until they've all washed. So it's an inverse answer. The symmetrical answer is they don't take the plate away until they come to wash their hands, which means that the gadol has his food in front of him the longest time. I said, you're telling me about the Persian meal. I know a braita. The Tanya, Kitzad Seder Aseba. And here you see how much our banquet customs were similar, influenced by or influencing of some of the other local customs. We have a different. When we have two beds, two divans, the junior one is below the Gadol, Bizman Shein Shalosh Mitot, and there's three, Gadol Mishtay Barosh, and Olamal Emenu. Then the second guy is above him, Shlishi Olamat Emenu, the third guy is below him. Ma'am Yishon Matchim Lina Gadol, we always have the elder wash first, or the elder or the most senior person. Ma'am Achronim, Bizman Shein Chamisha. When there's only five people or less, Matchim Lina Gadol, you have the elder wash, and then goes down. Bizman Shein Me'ah, if there's a lot, like 100, Matchim Lina Katan, you have the youngest or the least significant wash. Until you get to five. Chozrim Matchim Lina Gadol. The last five, you always start with the top guy. Makom Shemayim Achronim Chozrin. Wherever the Mayim Achronim come back to, L'sham Bracha Chozer. That's the one who leads the Birkat HaMazon. Whoever washes Netilat Yadayim first out of the last five, that's the one who should do the bracha. So the Gadol. Rav Rabbi Chia, we already saw in the sixth parak a story about this, of Rav and Rabbi Chia being in front of Rebbe, and he told him to wash, and what it meant was to that he was going to leave Berkat HaMazon. So the same story. We don't show honor or deference to somebody, not on a bridge and not on the road, not with dirty hands, meaning you just wash first. They're walking on the road. So the Ravin was evidently on a donkey. His donkey ran ahead of Abaye's. And he didn't say, Abaye, please go ahead of me. Since this guy came from Eretz Yisrael, Ravin was one of the Nechutei, he came from Eretz Yisrael, he's become very egotistic and very haughty. He's going in front of me. I'm the Rosh Hashiva here. Kimata lepitcha de Kishta, when they came to the shul, Amarle Neomar, Ravin said to Abaye, please go in first. Amarle v'arashtel Amarana, and beforehand I wasn't your master? You went ahead of me? Rabbi Yochanan taught us in Eretz Yisrael that you only show honor when you're going into a doorway that has a mezuzah. And therefore, on the road, there was no mezuzah. There's no entrance there. So I went ahead of you. It wasn't an issue. Only if it has a mezuzah. There is no mezuzah except on a house. So in a shul, you don't have to let him go first. What he meant was in a doorway that is fit for a mezuzah, meaning where a mezuzah could go, but not just on the road. So he quotes Rav with the following adage, the following rule. When a fellow makes a motzi, all the people around are not allowed to eat till he eats. He has to taste something. Doesn't have to eat necessarily. He says, yes, the version of it is the way we have it, just to taste. Sorry, Rav Safra was fixing this version. He said, not enem subin reshain le'achol, but litom. So what's the difference? Same thing. He says, because a person has to quote his Rebbe correctly, exactly to the word. So it's litom, not le'achol. If you have a pot and two people are eating out of a pot, they wait for each other. Right? If you have three, so the two don't have to wait for the third. The fellow who made a motzi puts his in, because the way they would eat is they'd make a motzi on bread and then stick it into the pot and grab the meat or the stew or whatever it is with the bread and eat it. But if he wants to show kavod to his Rebbe or somebody who's greater than him, then he may do so. He was having his son's wedding, getting it ready. He sat down and taught his son. He's not allowed to break bread until they all say amen to his hamotzi. Rav Chista fixed it and said it means most of the people. If one guy says amen for a long time, we're going to see that in a minute. Then you don't have to take that into account. So why do you say that you need rov? Because the bracha is really not complete. Even if there's a few people who haven't said amen yet. If somebody says amen too long, it's a mistake. You don't want to reward that mistake or take it into account. Tanu Rabbanan, ain't only no amen chatufa, like a chapt amen, a grabbed amen, v'lo amen ktufa, cut off amen, amen to toma, an orphaned amen, it's amen without a bracha, v'zok bracha mpivan, don't just say a bracha quickly. Azir merkola now amen yitoma, an orphaned amen, yuvanav yitomim, his children will be yitomim. Chatufa, a quick amen, which means he said it too quickly, sort of like went over one of the syllables quickly, yitchatfu yamav, his days will be grabbed away. Ktufa, if it's a cut off amen, it katfu yamav. His days will be cut off. Say amen for a good long amen, doesn't mean too long, of course, then he will have a long life. Okay, Rav Ushmuel, Havuyatve Besudata. They were at a meal together. Atrav Shim Rachia Have Kamasai V'Achil. He was hesitant to eat. I'm like, Rav, Mada Techlitz, Terufi Adan, you want to join us? Ana Achin Lalan. I've already eaten. Amalei Shmuel, so Shmuel turned to him and said, Ilumaitu liardilya, if they would bring me right now a fancy big fowl, then Rav Shim Rachia was trying to eat very quickly because he wanted to join them for the Zimun. And Rav said it's too late. Shmuel said, Ilumaitu liardilya, if they would bring me fish or something, or a fowl, sorry, it goes, Alaya la Abba, or they brought birds to you, to Abba, as Rav, as Abba, Milo Achlina, wouldn't we eat it? In other words, we're not done. Talmid Rav, Aviyat Visudata, students of Rav, we heard other stories of the students of Rav eating together. Ara Vachra, Racha came to join them. Amri Ata Gavaravad and Varachlan, a great man has come who's going to give bench for us. Amrlo, Misa Ritu to Gorom Mavarach, who says that the greatest man is says Mavarach? Ikash Besuda Mavarach, somebody who was there for the whole meal is Mavarach. Vilchata Gadom Varach of Agav Data Lasof, but the halacha isn't like that, but rather the most important person should say Birkat HaMazon, even if he only came at the end. Okay, now back to our Mishnah. And I promised in the Mishnah, in the previous podcast, I explained the different terms. We said that if you ate Dmai and Masri Shom Latratu, etc. So let's go through them step by step. What is Dmai? Dmai is produce that you buy from an Am Haaretz in Eretz Yisrael who claims that he has separated Trumot to Masrot. And in most cases, we cannot trust that, and we have to separate, just to be sure, we have to separate Trumat Maser Rishon, and then Trumat Maser, and give it to the Kohen, or not give it to the Kohen, and then Maser Sheni, Trumat Gdola, we know that they take, and that's Dmai. But Dmai is a very, very minimal concern, and therefore there's a lot of leniencies about it. And this is one, that if somebody ate Dmai, they could say Birkat HaMazon, and they could be part of our Zimun. How could you say that if he ate Dmai, he could be included? The answer is, because if a person wanted to, on the spot, he could disown everything he owns. He would become an Ani. And then the Mishnah and Dmai would apply. We feed Dmai to the Anim, and to an Achsanya, to a guest. Perhaps it means a guest. Beit Shammai disagrees, but that's Azma. The halacha is that we do. And therefore, this guy could legitimately be eating Dmai with just one sentence of disownership. Okay, Maser Rishon Lachmatos. Let's clarify what this means. When I separate Maser Rishon to give it to the Levi is then obligated to separate Trumato, meaning the Truma from that Maser Rishon, and give it to the Kohen. It's called Trumat Maser. So now, if you have Maser Rishon, if the Levi, let's say he gave it back to me, anybody can eat Maser Rishon, just belongs to him, had the Trumat Maser separated from it, and he ate the Maser Rishon, then he can say Birkat HaMazon and be Mitzar Flezimun. So Pshita, that's obvious. So Tzricha El Shiktimo B'Shibolim. We're talking about a case where the Levi went out and got his Maser out in the field. V'Vishmenu Trumat Maser, and he separated Trumat Maser from his Maser. V'Vishmenu Trumat Gdola, but he never took Trumat Gdola. In other words, Trumat Gdola was never taken from this grain. If the Levi got his Maser Rishon out in the field, there's no obligation of Trumat Gdola on that stuff. Because what's Trumat Maser? Maser from Maser. Maser na Maser, Maitach v'lova Trumat Gdola, Trumat Maser mina Maser. You don't have to take Trumat Gdola and Trumat Maser mina Maser, only one tenth. And therefore, Trumat Gdola is exempt. So, Mother Papa Abayach, Yafilu Timova Krinami. So our Papa turns to Abaye and says, what if you came to him in the granary after he'd already made the pile and the Levi grabbed his 10% before the coin got his Truma Gdola? Maybe he's not obligated to separate Truma Gdola. Amarle, Alecha Amarkra, Mikol Maasrotechem Tarimu. You have to separate from all your Maasrot, meaning including Truma Gdola. Umarayita, so our Papa turns to Abaye and says, why did you make that distinction? The answer is, Haidgan Velar Hailoidgan. Because it's not called dagan, it's not called corn until you bring it into the granary. So out in the field, it's sort of a first chat piece, and therefore he needs not separate the Truma Gdola in that circumstance. Okay, Maser Sheni v'Hekdesh. Here we go. Now, if you have Maser Sheni, and you don't want to bring it to Shalayim, you're not going to be coming to Shalayim for a long time, it's a very big amount, you redeem it onto coins. If it's your own maser sheni, you have to value how much it is, transfer it to coins plus a fifth. Same thing if you're redeeming hekdesh. You have to redeem it by transferring it to coins of that value plus a fifth. And a fifth is in the aggregate. So if the thing is worth $100, you need $125. So one fifth of that is the extra, and four fifths is the principal. Okay. So pshita, obviously, if you redeem the maser sheni, obviously, it's okay, and you can bench. So achmaiskin gon shenatan takern v'lo tata chomesh. Talking about a case where you only paid the principal and not the extra fifth. V'akamashma den chomesh ma'akev. It proves to you that both in maser sheni and in hekdesh, the chomesh is not indispensable, and the pidyon is already valid, and you're all a chomesh. All right, the next part of the Mishnah said, a shamash achal kazayit pshita. Obviously, if a shamash ate a kazayit, he can join you. So, ma'u detem a shamash lo kala. You might think that the shamash, the servant, isn't part of your meal because he's coming and going. He's not part of the group. So, kamash malan, that he could be included as one of the three. And we said, vahakuti mizam nalav. Now, the kutim, we talked about this several times already. The kutim were a group associated with today's Samaritans, who in the times of the Mishnah were perhaps Jewish, and machloket whether their giur, as mentioned in Malachim Bet Yud Zayin, was a legitimate giur, gerei emet, or a giur only out of fear of the lions, gerei arayot, read the story there. For the most part, the Mishnah takes the position that they are Jews who are not very careful about a lot of mitzvot, but the ones that they're careful about, they are extra careful about, which is why we have opinions among the Tanaim that we can be yotze with their matz on Pesach. So now, why can you include a kuti? Amai lo yehei al amaretz. A kuti should be no better than a Jewish am haaretz. V'tanya ein mezami al amaretz. We can't include him. V'amam a kuti chaver. If you have a kuti who himself is a scholar. You don't need to go that far. A big machloket, which we're going to see in a minute, about what the definition is of an Am Haaretz. And so it could be the definition that follows the Rabbanan of Reb Meir. Tanya Ezam Haaretz, Kol Sheino Ochel Chulav B'Taharah Devar Meir. Meir says, an Am Haaretz is defined by his care in eating B'Taharah. After the Churban of the Mikdash, there was a movement to, and even at the end of the time of the Mikdash, a movement to eat all foods with care of Tahara. People who didn't eat their regular food but Tahara were considered Ami Aretz. That's Reb Meir. Chamam Kol Shenu Maaser Perotav Karat Wei. Chamam gave the Dmai explanation, which is somebody who doesn't separate Maasro properly. V'hanikuto Yasroi Maasri. But we know that the Kutim are very careful about Maaser. Kedachazi, the might of Tibarite Mizaziri, the Mark Mitash of Zigwa Kutim, Habim Dakim Bayotem Israel. That stuff that's that mitzvot that are explicit in the Torah, the Kutim are more careful about than are we, as I mentioned before. And so therefore, if the Kuti that we're talking about is a Kuti Am Haaretz, but the definition of Am Haaretz being the Rabbanan's definition, then they still are very careful about Maasrot, and therefore we can include him in the Zimun. All right, one last piece we'll see for this podcast, and that is tangential to what we just mentioned. Tanu Rabbanan Ezu Amar. It's a critical brayta. Kol Sheino Korei Kriyat Shema Arvit V'Shacharit. Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says if somebody doesn't say Shema night and morning, they're an Amar. It's Rabbi Shua Omer Kol Sheino Minyach Tefillin, doesn't put on Tefillin. But Azar Omer Kol Sheino Tzitzit Bevigdo. He doesn't have Tzitzit on his garment. Doesn't mean he doesn't wear Tzitzit. It means he has a four-cornered garment without Tzitzit. V'Natan Omer Kol Sheino Mezuzah Pitcho. He doesn't have mezuzah on his door. Somebody has sons and doesn't raise them to learn Torah. Which may be a mayor. Even if you yourself read Tanakh and study Mishnah, but you didn't do Shimush, which means studying Gemara, studying in depth, you're an Am Haaretz. So he says, for our purposes of Zimun and everything, is like Acherim. So Rav Chama would not include Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa in his Zimun. Tatani Sifra v'Sifri v'Hilchata. Even though he was an expert in these essential books of Torah Sheval Peh, because he didn't do Shimush. Kenachnavshe Rav Chama, when Rav Chama died, he died young, as we know, and then Rava married his wife, the story of Rav Chista's daughter. Amarava lo nachnavshe Rav Chama ela de lo azmin Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa. He said he died because, as a punishment for not including Rav Menashe, he was wrong not to do that. But why is that the case? After all, we have an opinion that says that's an Am Haaretz, and ein mezamnin al Am Haaretz. Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa de mashmalu l'Rabbanan. He's somebody who obeys the Rabbanan. Rachama didn't check well enough into his credentials and should have known that even though he himself wasn't a scholar, he was obedient to the scholars, and he himself was half a walking encyclopedia of Torah Shebaal Peh. Somebody who repeats, who memorizes and repeats and reviews the teachings of the Rabbanan is himself like a Talmud Chacham, and therefore he should have included him. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll take a look at the second half of the Mishnah and the analysis of those who cannot be included in Zimun in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.